The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
CBS, Eye on the World, Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. It is happy birthday, Behind the Black, 14 years, the anniversary, and your subscriptions and donations are welcome and much appreciated to keep Bob going, watching for the extremely complicated story of commercial space. Spaceports, boosters, recoverability, SpaceX, of course, and Mr. Musk's ambition, but there are a lot of other ambitious characters. And then there's big space to watch, especially, says Bob, the Chinese Communist Party's big space. Bob, a very good evening to you. We're going to start with commercial space. What is Firefly? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Firefly is one of the rocket startup companies that have been developing in the U.S. and worldwide, actually, in the last 4 or 5 years, all after NASA and a lot of government agencies in the West decided to stop building things themselves and instead hire private companies to do things. And this is all following SpaceX, which forced the whole change in the whole industry. And Firefly has had launched a bunch of times with mixed success, but they had been launching. They have a rocket called the Alpha Rocket. Well, this past week, in fact, the evening before July 3rd, they did a successful launch. This was a launch paid for by NASA. It carried 8 small sats, CubeSats, on board from a variety of other customers, all of whom have gotten grants from NASA. NASA would pay for the launch for them. And so it launched it and it released all 8 CubeSats, and that's important. It's a success. One of those CubeSats I've been focusing on because it's from a company called Freefall. They are testing spherical antennas that can expand out like a balloon. And this is a kind of, this is to transmit a lot of data. And CubeSats have not been able to do that because they can't store big antennas on these tiny satellites, but if you could do a balloon-type spherical antenna that you could expand, you could then suddenly start using CubeSats to transmit lots and lots of data. And they're testing that on this particular flight, and so we'll see how that plays out.
And what's their record on launches, Bob? Are they usually successful?
They have a mixed record, but they're a relatively new company, you know, and you always have somewhat of a mixed record in the beginning. It's rare that every launch goes well for the first, like, 20 launches of a company. But they've been successful. They're getting things up. And this is their rocket here, the Alpha, is at the larger end of the small sat market. It can carry more payload than others. But this is also a company that has a lunar lander they're building for NASA and other things, orbital tugs. They're really trying to get into all areas of the space business right now.
Spacewalk. Jared Isaacman. The date is set. Who is Jared Isaacman? What's the spacewalk? What's the significance?
Yes, this is Jared Isaacman had flown with 3 others on a Dragon capsule resilience back in, I think, 21 or 22. These things go on so much now, I can't keep track. But he was the first. It was the first commercial flight on a Dragon capsule. Didn't dock with ISS. They stayed up for about 4 or 5 days, privately funded by Isaacman, who's got a lot of money. He used that mission mostly to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. But then he signed a contract with SpaceX after that mission to do 3 more missions. He calls it, it's Polaris is his program name. And the first of those 3 missions is on Resilience, the Dragon capsule again, and it's now scheduled for July 31st of this month, the launch. And the goal of that mission is he and 3 others are going to go up on the Resilience capsule, and they've replaced the docking port that was there before and then was replaced with like a couple of where you could look out. They took that off too, and instead they put in a hatch. What he and one other crew member is going to do is they're going to do spacewalk. The mission is going to have several two main goals. One, they're going to fly resilience on an orbit that will take it as high as 870 miles, which is the highest orbit flown by any astronaut since Gemini 11 in 1966, and it'll be the farthest any human has flown from Earth since the Apollo missions. Then they're going to lower. That's partly to test radiation, do radiation experiments. They have some see how the Van Allen belts, because they'll go into those, will affect them. But after they do that for a bunch of orbits, they're going to lower the orbit down. They're going to be up for 5 days, and at 700 miles elevation, he and one other crew member will do spacewalks. They'll open the hatch. All four people will be in spacesuits because the air is going to leave the capsule. And he will go out and do a spacewalk. And then he'll come in, and the other crew member will do a spacewalk. This will be the first totally private spacewalk by a private citizen, paid for by a private citizen, launched by a private company. He has proposed that his second mission in his Polaris program would go to a Hubble repair mission. If he succeeds with the spacewalk here, he'll have a stronger argument to NASA. There are people at NASA who are skeptical. But NASA needs new gyros, and if he can prove that he can do this kind of stuff, that makes it more likely, John.
A radiation, Bob, going that far out, you note that that means that they're exposed to radiation that is not available in lower orbits. What is the risk here?
We know for a fact the risk is not high because the Apollo astronauts went through the Van Allen belts and then went beyond where they're even more exposed to radiation. And they survived for the 2 weeks they were in space, 2 or 3 weeks. And this is only going to be for a day or two. But they now have better sensors and data to figure out what small influences will have, and that'll help tell something about long-term effects as well.
A gamma-ray space telescope. SpaceX got the contract. What is a gamma ray? What does it give us, Bob?
Radiation and emissions from stars and galaxies comes from across the entire electromagnetic spectrum, not just from optical light. And so you need special instruments to look for X-rays, to look for infrared, to look for radio, and to look for gamma. And gamma ray emissions come mostly from most significant gamma ray emissions in astronomical objects is gamma ray bursts. These are these explosions they think form black holes across the universe, one per day. And so NASA has contracted for a new, is building a new gamma ray telescope, which they want to launch in 27, and they've now signed SpaceX to get the contract. What's interesting about this contract is it's $69 million, so it gives us an idea of what SpaceX is now charging for these kind of launches. It also tells us, once again, SpaceX keeps getting all these contracts because neither ULA's Vulcan or Blue Origin's New Glenn rockets have really become operational. They're not getting the business that they would have been able to get if they had simply gotten their job done on time.
Now, the last time we talked about this, you approved Space Force is growing the list of people who can bid on contracts. Is that how to read this?
Yes, that's exactly right. Space Force has two different programs for giving out launch contracts. One is for the big rockets, and that is presently limited to SpaceX, ULA, and Blue Origin. They're the only ones that can bid. SpaceX has only got only one that's got an operational rocket, so it has no one's bidding against it at the moment. But ULA and Blue Origin hope by the end of this year to have their rockets finally operational, and they'll be bidding against them. But then they have a small rocket program, and that's for the small sats, kind of like Firefly. It includes Firefly and a lot of other smaller companies, and it does include ULA and SpaceX as well. The Space Force already had 10 vendors listed in this pool that they would accept contracts for. A large percentage of them haven't yet launched a rocket, but they're getting close. And so the Space Force looked at where they stood and said, we'll be willing to consider you for a launch. This program, unlike the big rocket contracts, this program is more to encourage these, help these companies get started. So you've got a lot in there, such as ABL, that have not launched and they need help. In Relativity, it hasn't launched. It could use the help. In Avrom, these are companies that haven't launched yet. But the Space Force is basically saying, you might get contracts from us if you can show you're getting close. Well, they've now added two more companies to this list, Stoke Space and Blue Origin. And they're both startups as far as I'm concerned. Stoke Space is developing a rocket with a very radical nozzle design. Instead of a single nozzle, its upper stage will have a ring of small nozzles. And this is designed, they hope, to make that upper stage reusable. And of course, Blue Origin is the company that just never flies, and we just keep hoping it will. And so they've now expanded their list of companies to 12 that they will accept contracts for. What this indicates in both cases is that the military is no longer restricting the number of companies. It's trying to expand it as much as possible to increase competition, and that is a really good thing. It'll lower cost to the government, and it'll encourage innovation and new companies, John.
This looks like big German space, two spy satellites. This is the state program.
These are two spy satellites were launched by SpaceX in December, and they are there to replace a previous constellation of spy satellites that the Germans had. And it was apparently built by a German company. I don't know if it's big space so much, but a German company. It appears that both satellites are failures. From that single launch. For both to fail is pretty embarrassing. It appears the reason they both failed is their antennas on both satellites could not be deployed. And it does appear that the reason this happens is because the German company did no ground tests to vibrate or shake to test the antennas beforehand. If that's the case, this is a really gross error. The company is still responsible. It's going to have to replace the satellites for the German government. But it's a little embarrassing for the German government, without question, as well as German industry.
Bob, that brings up a question I've meant to ask for quite some time. Who pays, who hires, who sells insurance for failed satellite launches?
That's a good question, John. Every launch by a private enterprise, commercial satellites, is insured. And the rocket companies themselves probably insure themselves as well. So if for example, you launch a satellite and the rocket fails, the insurance company will come in and help pay for the cost of replacing the satellite. Similarly, and so in this case, if that German company is properly insured, it will get money from the insurance company, maybe, to replace the two satellites. The insurance company might say, wait, we're not going to pay you because you didn't do the proper due diligence to get before you launched. And so we don't think you're negligent, we're not going to pay you. So it gets into an argument there. But usually companies get insurance and insurance companies pay off in these kind of situations.
Las Vegas, getting into the spaceport game. This is a great idea, Bob. What do we know about it?
Yeah, I've talked about this a few times in the past. There's a consortium that's putting together I call it a space geek resort, essentially, about an hour from Las Vegas. They claim it's going to be a spaceport. That is never going to be the case. The location is just not good for a spaceport. But they're basically designing this as a space geek resort because they're going to have an app. The story here is they just got the license from the FAA to allow their airport to operate for small planes. And so, you know, if you're wealthy and you want to fly in, you can fly into this place. And that'll also give them the opportunity to add flight training as one of the options if you go to this resort. They're going to put in, for example, tanks so you could do simulated gravity spacewalks. They're going to have moon surfaces, I think, where you can duplicate walking on the surface of the moon. They're going to put in things that would interest training stuff that would interest people who want to make believe they're an astronaut, and maybe even that astronaut companies that are going to train astronauts could use. And so that's the idea. And so they now have an airport license so people can fly in and out of this location.
Now, I'm puzzled about why a spaceport is not appropriate here. This is within distance of the Nevada Atomic Test Zone of the 1950s and 60s. There's a lot of empty space out there. Why not a spaceport?
You're going to launch. This is kind of like China, John. You're going to launch over the United States – and you don't get over the ocean for a considerable distance, which means your first stages will be landing in the United States. And unless whoever launches there has complete reusability and completely reliable usability, that ain't going to fly. They're not going to get permits for launching. It's not a location that's going to ever be a priority for a spaceport. You know, we go 20 years down the road and every rocket is always reusable and always works and always comes back like an airplane. Well, then that'll change, but not for at least a decade to two before we'll get even close to that.
Bob Zimmerman. This is Behind the Black 14th anniversary. Your subscriptions and donations are most welcome. As Bob just identified, he's going to be with us another 20 years for the Las Vegas spaceport to go operational. I love the whole idea of gambling and then flying to Mars, Bob. It appeals to the big-time tourists. We're going to look at flying to Mars. We're going to look at weightlessness when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman. I'm John Bannon.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.